And so this morning, y'all, we continue in our preaching series, Money Talks, a biblical take on earning, spending, and saving, and giving money. That money talks. We said it last week, we said it again today, that money has power. That it's money and money alone that can influence our thoughts, our behaviors, our decisions that we make in life. Money talks. And listen, when money talks, it really echoes what's really on the inside of us. It echoes what's in our heart. Some of y'all remember the movie Friday. Y'all remember Big Worm from the movie Friday. And Big Worm said to Smokey, listen, playing with my money is like playing with my emotions. That we get emotional when it comes to money, don't we all? You know, it's interesting in the Bible that Jesus has a whole lot to say about money, but how little we talk about it in the church. Because money is a touchy subject with a whole lot of people. And I was authentic last week, real this week, when God was saying to me, you need to talk to the people about money. Lord, I don't want to do it, but you're going to do it anyway. Because it's really, it's a personal issue. It's a very personal subject. But God cares what you do with your money. Because in reality, your money is his money. And so, how do we talk about this subject of money in the society where we idolize and we worship money? How do we form this balanced perspective about money? How do we talk about it in such a way as it relates to Scripture that it honors God, it honors us, it honors those that are around us? So last week, y'all, we talked about earning versus chasing money. That when we earn money, listen, we engage in some work activity, some honest work activity, some industry where we make money to take care of ourselves and our families and our needs, and we do all of that with money. That's earning money. But there's also chasing money. And people that chase money will do whatever's necessary to get that next dollar bill. That listen, they if it violates their integrity, their character, if it hurts the family, whoever, they don't care, they will chase that dollar bill down. God didn't call us to chase money, but to earn it. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. So this morning, listen, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21, we'll read one simple verse, verse 20. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. I ask for your audible amen as we talk about this subject of money, our finances. Yes, he is. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. It simply says this: the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Let me read that again. Now you ask yourself, which category are you in this morning? I'm not throwing any stones. Listen, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. So in this second lesson, I want to talk to us from the thought of spending and saving. And our subject is this: resisting the Happy Meal trap. Resisting the Happy Meal trap. And so in recent days, months or so, Sister Jackie and I, along with our grandbaby Aria, we spent some time, y'all, in the line at the Shrine of the Golden Arches. They call it McDonald's. Because Aria now enjoys, which I didn't think she ever would. I mean, she was never talked about McDonald's. In recent months, though, she has enjoyed going to McDonald's to get her Happy Meal. Y'all, a Happy Meal, y'all, it's more than just the fries and, you know, the nuggets or the hamburger, or, you know, the drink, that cheap little toy you get on the inside of it. It's more than that, y'all. It's about buying happiness. Daily, thousands of children yearn for their fidgety, restless little souls long for their Happy Meal. But how many of y'all discovered this? One Happy Meal has never made a child satisfied. That if it's not the next week or the next week, they want to go back to McDonald's to get another Happy Meal. Because the happy wears off. She will open up that little box, she'll get her burger and her fries and do her thing, and she'll look at that little prize and she'll play with it for a minute. Shoom, it's gone. Okay, pop, let's do something else now. The happy wears off. But I believe this, McDonald's, y'all, they are a marketing genius. To come up with the thought of the happy meal. That's why Ronald McDonald is smiling all the time. Billions served each year. That's why he's smiling all the time, making the money. But here's something else I know. When we get older, the Happy Meal just gets a little bit more expensive. What's your Happy Meal? The car you drive. Is that what makes you happy? The house you live in. Is that what makes you happy? The relationships you share with those that you love so much, is that the thing that ultimately makes you happy? The clothes that you wear, name brand they may be, is that what really makes you happy? Found out something in life, and I hope you have too, that material things do not satisfy, that they simply cannot make us happy. But I wonder how many people get lured into the devil's trap of believing that things can satisfy us and make us happy. That's a lie from the enemy. That is the Happy Meal lie. That the devil lures us into a life of, again, of really chasing the dollar, materialism and all of that stuff, y'all. And listen, we fall into financial traps. We get trapped because of money and overspending and not saving. And so we're bought into the Happy Meal lie. Y'all, listen, we can spend and save wisely when we resist a materialistic mindset. The materialistic mindset is all about stuff and things. And stuff and things will never satisfy. But what about the things of God? And so I just want to challenge us this morning. Y'all, listen, y'all didn't come here for a financial class. But I said some time ago when we would preach on this series, we would do more than just say, let me go to the Old Testament to show you, well, Melchizedek, that how he gave the tithe, that he gave the kid, and all and that, and talk about that rather than, let's just really talk about money. Let's talk about the reality of earning money and spending and saving money and giving money. Because I would do you no justice if all I said was, listen, I want to open up the Bible, beat you over the head and tell you you need to give. That's why you're not blessed. That is more than that. Because for some of us, the reason we cannot give to the church is because we really don't have it. And then it begs the question, how are we doing with our financial resources? Are we wise with them or are we acting foolishly? The wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. You have to decide this morning, what category are you in this morning? Have you been acting wisely with the money that God has given you? Or have you been acting foolishly? So Proverbs, y'all, it's a collection of wise sayings by Solomon, King Solomon, David's son. And Solomon gives wise advice. It's filled with principles and good advice for life, even as it relates to money. Sometimes we have this desire, y'all, to keep up with the Joneses. Maybe it's a lack of education, or it's just this deep desire to have money that causes us to fall into the trap, the happy meal trap, the happy meal mindset. I just got to have the latest and the greatest and the next thing. And so, again, not a class in finances, but I want to be clear that I don't want us to fall into that happy meal trap. And so to avoid it, to get through it, I just want y'all to listen to me for the next few minutes. And so God wants you to live a life, y'all. Listen, he wants you to live a life where you are financially free. Not necessarily that you are rich, that you live in a lap of luxury, but God does want you financially free. He doesn't want you strapped and weighed down because of your financial condition or position. That's not God's way. That's bondage, y'all. And so the first thing I think we can take away from this text as we think about the wise having wealth and luxury is this. We can talk about wise spending. And today I think we have to differentiate between needs and wants. You go to Matthew chapter 6, needs and wants. Jesus is talking. It's the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking to his disciples and those who had gathered around him on that day and to us today. He said, don't worry. Let me paraphrase. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Look at the birds, that they don't plant or harvest, but their father feeds them. You are more valuable than the birds. But notice something when you go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 25-35, that Jesus is talking about human needs. He's not talking about the lap of luxury. He's not talking about all of it. He's just talking about food and clothing. And can we add to that shelter? He's talking about basic human needs. And there's a major problem today. Major problem that's been going on for some time, that God provides for our need. But sometimes I think we expect without even thinking about it, God will provide for our greed, y'all. I've noticed today, y'all, that needs and wants, that it's changed. The definition has changed in terms of what we say we need and what we want. I think it's still true today, y'all. We need human needs. We need food. We need shelter. We need clothing. But yeah, I think we got to twist it up today. I remember when it came to school, all you needed was some notebook paper. You need a number 2 pencil. You know, a couple of things. Now we need computer tablets. That now I see children walking around with cell phones. As if they need a cell phone. Now listen. I'm not trying to hit anybody. I'm not trying to miss you either, though. But what happened to those old rotary phones we used to have in the house? That long extension cord on it. You could take it into your room and you could talk. Hey, Jackie, what you up to, girl? You take that thing and dial it like this, y'all. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. And then they finally came out with the push button phone. Yeah, and my folks too, y'all, they be like, you got about 5 minutes on that phone. After that, you got to turn it back over. But we so confused wants with needs. Ask yourself the question, what is it that you really need? And what do you want? And we laugh about this, and it's humorous, but I ask myself, even as my daughter-in-law is probably staring at me and saying this, and you need to be saying amen to yourself about this. This is, but we laugh when it comes to our grandchildren, that Pop-Pop is probably the worst at it. That because when my children were young and I couldn't give them everything they wanted, that now I have grandchildren and I have more finances and maybe I want to be able to help them. But the problem is, do we become their ATM? Yeah. Yeah. And I ask myself, yeah, Felicia, what am I teaching my grandchild when, what, she over there saying amen. She don't do that, y'all. That we cannot become their ATM, that we have to teach them valuable lessons as it relates to finances. And the truth is many Americans are addicted to spending. That we have the shrine of the mall, y'all. The shrine of the coffee shop called Starbucks. The shrine of the car wash. What happened when we used to wash our own cars? Do you know how much it cost to have your car washed at the wash tub? So yeah, I know because you go all the time. Can you imagine giving somebody $15 to $20, $25 to wash your car, get them a $5 tip, you go out, go drive off the lot, it's raining already. There went $30 whole. What happened to the water hose? Just wash it out and you good. Listen, if you have the financial means to do it, I'm not saying that you should not do it, but I'm talking about wise spending. Do you have to do it? Sometimes we think because we have the means to do something that we ought to do it. And that could be further from the truth because that's not always wise. That we have to watch our dollars. We have to watch how we spend our money. And a lot of us get in a whole lot of trouble, y'all. Because we can spend more than we earn. And we save nothing. So how do we spend more than we earn? How is that possible? You know how it's possible? Listen to this. The airline ticket to Orlando, Florida, $450. The cost of accommodations, $800. The food, $350. The ticket to get in the theme park, out of this world, $800. But listen to this. The price of seeing the smile on your child's face, priceless. Y'all know the MasterCard commercial. MasterCard, they got us all twisted up and messed up. Yeah, listen, how does that saying go? I'm trying to, it says, some things money can't buy, but for everything else, they say there's MasterCard. Have y'all caught the marketing genius of MasterCard? If everything is priceless, and my child has a smile on their face, didn't I just pay $2,000 to get it? So I'm praying for pricelessness. There's a cost associated with this. And a lot of us take this, get into plastic prison, y'all. Yeah. We get the credit cards and we charge them with this high interest. We have this high interest debt that we cannot pay off. And y'all, I'm speaking from experience, y'all. I'm just being authentic and real. Been there, done there, bought the t-shirt. Yeah. Until I sat down with some notebook paper and a number 2 pencil and I started writing down how much money I was actually spending on a credit card when you're talking about 10 and 15% interest and you're paying the minimum payment. You will never pay that thing off. And creditors know that and they lure us in. But we have to watch how we spend. I knew I'd be quiet today, y'all. Amen, amen, amen. I wish we had a Hammond B3 so I could cut a step real quick. I know it's going to be quiet today, y'all. It's going to be quiet. But we can spend more than we can earn and pay high interest credit card rates. And mama said it well on Waterboy, that credit is the devil, y'all. Credit is like the devil. I didn't say devil, I said devil. And I know we need it, many of us, to get a mortgage for a house. But beyond that, how much is enough? How much credit do you need? How much do you need to, Brother Alan Jones, how much do we need? That's one of my accountability brothers there, so. Very astute with money. Brother Sport in the back of the room, very astute with money. This thing is so serious to me, y'all. Come on now, come on. Shut up. Hey! I got your back, Brother Sport. I got your back. This thing is so serious to me, y'all. As I got into this study, I felt like God was speaking to my heart and says, you got to do more. You got to do more for the congregation. Not just give them a couple of sermons and send them on their way, but I'm determined, listen, we need to have, you know, some type of financial peace course, seminars, that we can sit down with folk and help young people, especially our young people, so y'all don't have to go where we went, y'all. Y'all don't have to do that. You don't have to go through the stuff we went through to sit down with y'all and to talk about money, to talk about finances and how to take care of your finances. You know, I know somebody came here this morning and said, I need a word for God for my situation. I'm trying to give you one. That we need to be wise about our spending. Wise spending versus unwise spending in every area of our lives. So here's some application points. Listen,
Don't spend more than you earn. Let's just start right there. Don't spend more than you earn. How about this? Take some time to comparison shop. Now, if you can get, you know, if you can get those Nikes, you know, down at the Shoe Palace for this amount. But Sister Joyce Higginbottom, who's a master shopper, you can go and find it somewhere else for 30% off, 40% off. Comparison shop. Nothing wrong with that. Save those dollars. How about this? Avoid impulse spending. I just got to have it. I got to have those shoes right now. I got to have them. Avoid impulse spending. And I'm not just looking at the ladies either. I'm talking to some guys too. Avoid impulse spending. Listen, and don't find yourself, y'all, in plastic prison. Plastic prison when you got all of these credit card, all this high interest credit card debt and you can't hardly get out. Don't find yourself in plastic prison. And know this too, just because we can doesn't mean we have to. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make it as plain as possible. Just because you can buy it, just because you can afford it, do you really need what you're trying to get? How many pair of shoes is enough pair of shoes? Okay. Pastor Glass, I'm treading on thin ice right now. I'm treading on thin ice. Can I get some help? Come on. Brother, you on your own on that. But for real, how many suits is enough? Yeah, I went in my closet this morning. Somebody blessed me with some suits, y'all, some nice suits too. And as I was putting them in the closet, I started counting the number of suits I had. And I'm just 20, 25, 30, 30. I'm just, how many suits do I need? I don't even hardly like wearing suits anymore. I like blue jeans and a shirt, y'all, because it get hot. It's hot in San Antonio. It's just hot. But how much do we need that we have to be wise about our spending, y'all? How about this? Practice delayed gratification. Do you need it now? Do you have to have it right now? Can you put it off until later? Some said, no, I can't. That's why I pulled out the plastic. So just practical stuff, y'all. Listen, in addition to wise spending, there's also wise strategic saving. The wives have wealth and luxury. I want y'all to understand this. Now, I'm not saying to everybody, listen, God wants you to be rich. You know, I'm not here to give you some prosperity gospel. But I believe this too, you don't have to be poor either. You don't have to live in poverty, especially when you handle your finances well. There ought to be some wise strategic saving. And somebody may ask, well, why save? Well, listen, unless you have this unending supply of money, if you do, can you raise your hand right now? Because I'm going to ask you for a tithe in just a minute. I'm going to ask you for a blessing, and a big blessing too. We need it. Unless you have an unending supply of money, unless you're planning on never retiring in life, if you don't fit that category, then hey, listen, spend as you want. But most of us know we're going to retire one day, and we need a savings plan that you will live on a fixed income at some point, as big or small as it may be. You will live on a fixed income. So you have to save, y'all. We have to save. There are some the most unsuspecting people that you would think of. As you see them, you're walking through the mall, that I believe the people that are very well off, they are wealthy people because they've learned how to save. They're walking around in blue jeans and a T-shirt and, you know, no name brand stuff, and they're well off because they learned how to save. And so one of the greatest examples that I see of that in the scriptures when we talk about Joseph. Some of y'all remember Old Testament, Joseph, he interprets the dream of Pharaoh. And there would be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. That was the interpretation of the dream. And Joseph used wisdom that in the 7 years of plenty, guess what he did? He saved. Took storehouses and filled them up with grain. He saved. So when famine came, guess what? They had what they needed. The same thing applies to our lives. Yeah, save some money too. I'm not telling you don't spend. I'm not telling you to hoard it. I'm not telling you to be a penny pincher, but you have to learn how to save your money. Yeah, yeah, listen, one of my favorite candies is Now and Laters. The motto of Now and Laters is this: eat some now and save some for later. And so there's a sermon that you can get from Now and Laters as it relates to spending and saving. Spend some now, but you got to save some for later. You got to hold on to some of them coins. And some application. Let me move on. Prioritize long-term financial goals. Where do you want to be in the next 3 to 5 years as it relates to your finances? Who wants to be broke in the next 3 to 5 years? That's my plan. Not have a penny in savings. You know, living from hand to mouth. For real, more month than money. We don't want to live like that. And so we have to have some long-term financial plans, some goals. Create a budget and stick to it, y'all. Amen, Hummer. How many of y'all in here have a budget that you know where your dollars are going? This is just practical stuff, y'all. Because I don't want to ask y'all, listen, I need y'all to give to this ministry. I need you to open up your hearts and not tell you about this other stuff that we need to be doing so you have it to give. Create yourself a budget. If you don't know how to create a budget, see Brother Sport. He will show you how to budget your money. So create a budget. Establish an emergency fund, 3 to 6 months of expenses. Recognize saving, again, and not hoarding your money. Don't squeeze a dollar till it hollers every time. Listen, spend some money too, y'all. Enjoy life. Spend some of it too, but we have to have wise, strategic savings. The happy meal mentality comes from a materialistic mindset, and it traps us up that we got to have it, y'all, when we don't have to have it. Materialism is a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort is more important than spiritual values, which takes me to my final point as it relates to this whole issue of resisting the happy meal mindset and trap. Third thing is this, and we'll be done. We need to consider wise spiritual stewardship. We'll talk a bit more about this on next week. So to discover what biblical stewardship is all about, you have to believe in Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What does that say to us? That everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell, it all belongs to him. And unless we can ascribe to this and accept this, our lives from a financial sense will be like trying to button up a shirt. You know how it is when you misalign it? And your shirt is just, it's off. And some of us walk around financially, our lives are like this, y'all. It's misaligned because we have not buttoned up financially in a proper way, in a godly way. Everything belongs to God. God in his grace and his mercy and his favor shares with us his good things. Whatever you own, it belongs to God. The car that you drive, it belongs to God. The clothes on your back, they belong to God. The house that you live in, it belongs to God. The job that you have, that belongs to God. It all belongs to God. And guess what? We belong to God. We do. And so some of y'all saying, well, I don't believe that so much. This is my stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, do this. When you die, everything that's yours, you take it with you. Everything else belongs to God. Some of y'all saying, well, listen, when I die, listen, I got some stuff I'm passing on to my children. I'm passing on my legacy. Listen, they're going to die too. Yeah. So, again, I say to you, if you really believe that it's yours and yours alone, when you die, listen, you won't have it anymore. Somebody else is going to be enjoying your stuff, and they're going to die one day too. We have to practice wise spiritual stewardship. There are many references in the Bible, y'all, to stewardship. And one of my favorites is a parable of the faithful servant in Matthew chapter 24. until the master goes on a journey, leaves a servant in charge of his household. And at first, y'all, the servant, he's faithful to all that the master has left him. He's good to the other servants in the household, but the master didn't come back for a while. And so he started mistreating the servants. And so he didn't display the traits of biblical stewardship. He mistreated folks. He mishandled his money. And the master would show back up one day. I'm saying something to y'all. What would happen if the master showed up today and said, what have you been doing with my stuff? The stuff that I entrusted to you. What have you been doing with the resources, the things, and even the relationships that I have entrusted to you? What have you done with those things? Will he say, well done, good and faithful servant? And say, you jacked up. How are you handling the things, Rem Parnell, that God has entrusted to you and to us? That we have to practice wise spiritual stewardship in this whole realm of saving and spending. We must practice wise spiritual stewardship. So, if you need to, seek some wisdom in making financial decisions. Be a good steward of all that God has trusted to you. Remember that everything that you have, I know how hard you work for, but everything that you have, God gave it to you. God gave it to me. God gave it to us. And whatever you have, give generously. And when I say that, not just to the church that we give to the church, but how many of y'all, when somebody is in need, you don't say, let me pick up the phone and call the benevolence committee at the church? That you open up your wallet or your pocketbook and you dig down and you say, here's some money. I have some. Let me share some with you. How many of y'all practice that? But give generously and cheerfully. We need to talk about earning and spending and saving before challenging one another in our giving to the church. I've told this story and about done. Get on with our baptisms for today. I've told the story about Dr. Elmer Towns. Once was the co-founder of Liberty University. He is the co-founder of Liberty University. But he taught a popular stewardship class titled, Who Owns Your French Fries? Some of y'all heard the story before. I want to tell it again because I like it. It goes something like this, that a father has a five-year-old, and he takes him out to a restaurant, and he buys fries, French fries, for his five-year-old son. He even supersizes the fries that he gives him. And so the father reaches in, because he didn't order anything, he reaches in to grab one of the fries from his son, and his five-year-old slaps his hand. The father's shocked. He's thinking, listen, I'm the source of these French fries. I paid for them. I even supersized them for my son. The father had the power to take all the fries if he wanted them. He had the power to say, is that enough, son? Let me give you another supersized order of fries. He had that kind of power. As the dad thought about it, one or two fries, it really didn't matter to him. That wasn't a deal. But shouldn't the child have recognized the source of his blessing? The source of his French fries. I wonder sometimes that God blesses us with these supersized blessings, that God shows us French fry favor, that God gives us hamburger help and makes us hamburger happy, that God shakes us up and moves us with his blessings, that God even gives us the prizes of his many, many blessings. But when God reaches into our lives and say, can I have some of your talent? Can I have some of your time? Can I get you? Then we snap the hand of God and say, mine. That all that we have belongs to God. I don't know about you, but I know where my blessings come from. And I want to use the resources that God has given me to use them wisely. And so every day of my life, when God makes me happy and gives me joy, I offer back my happy meal to him. God, you can have it. It belongs to you.
I know that you are the source of my supply. I know you supply all of my needs, oh God, and everything I give back to you, oh God. Use it for your glory. Use it as you please. God, it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. You shared it with, but it's yours, oh God. And you can have it. Have all of it. But more than that, God, you can have all of me. Can I ask you, Vince, how are you doing in your faith relationship with God? Not simply as it relates to your spending and your saving, but how much of you have you really given to God? You've surrendered your life to Him in a saving relationship. Some of you have. But are you totally surrendered to God? I believe when we're totally surrendered to God, we will surrender our finances wholeheartedly and happily. And we'll save, we'll earn, we'll save, we'll spend, and we'll give as God wants us to. God loves you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much that He gave. What did He give? He gave His Son for you and for me. And the Son gave His life for you and for me. And whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. Are you in a saving relationship with the Lord today? Do you know it for real, for real, for real, though? In this moment, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you so much for this word today. As it relates to our financial position and condition. God, we want to be wise stewards over everything that you have given us. That in your graciousness, in your goodness, God, you have entrusted finances and things to us. Show us how to use them wisely. Show us how to spend and to save wisely. And not simply get rid of everything that we got, spend everything we have. Move on our hearts, oh God, that we can be gracious to you, the giving to this ministry, that you might supply our every need. God, I pray for a heart right now that perhaps they're not in a saving relationship with you, that you speak to that heart. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe in this moment that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We're willing to repent and turn from our sins and confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of our lives. We confess with our mouths, we believe in our heart that Jesus is who He says He is according to your word. And we accept Him again as Savior of our lives. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts right now. Do what only you can do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone here today, that if you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, that He's calling for you, that He wants to be in a saving relationship with you. Those who are tuned in right now to our online ministry, we invite you into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're online right now, how do you do that? There is a new member ministry form that you can fill out. Fill that form out, and I promise you on this coming week, listen, we will get with you. We'll gather information, and we'll welcome you with open arms. If you're in the house today, you can do that today. Our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Whether believing for the first time, maybe you're inquiring, maybe you're a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church, we invite you to be a member of Living Faith Community Church, a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.